Kiro Koto, welcome to the Bad Monkey Music Show, and this is episode 8, and you are with me, the Bad Monkey, who is from the Radio 13 Collective. And Radio 13 is a group of music writers, photographers and DJs who give our time to promote the music that we love. And today, the Bad Monkey is going to explore the world of rap and hip-hop, but a word of caution: some swearing, cussing, and general no-gooding might happen on this episode. So boys and girls, you can play out in the sun, rain, whatever it may be. Today's a good day for that. So, we are broadcasting live today from the Sky Tower in Auckland on 104.6 FM and on planetaudio.org.nz. Now, the Bad Monkey is not well-versed, pun intended, in the world of rhymes and hip-hop. So I've got some guests here to help me navigate us through. My special guest on the show today is Hugh Ozumba.
Yep.
I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah,
who is
right.
also known as Unchained XL. Uh-huh. And he's got his mate here, Kevin Posey, or KVP, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
How are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself, Hugh.
Yeah, so I mean, I started music when I was very young. I was compelled into classical piano at the age of 4. Which I was resentful for at the time, all the way up to like age 11, but I appreciate that now, just because it formed a really good musical foundation for me. I grew up, learnt a few different instruments in high school, learnt production, did a couple of bands, and then sort of settled into this Unchained XL thing the last couple of years.
Okay. Yeah. Can I get you to kind of speak a little bit closer to the mic so we can kind of hear that Unchained voice of yours?
Sure.
Oh, there you go. All right. So I've also got some fellow monkeys here in the studio, and I've been trying so hard to get these guys in because I'm not only a big fan of their music, but hey, monkeys got to look out for monkeys, right?
Yeah, sure.
I've got Wukong, the Monkey King, in the house.
Kia ora, kia ora.
Kia ora.
All right, now, you need to kind of, we need to identify the voices, right? So we're going to start with Wade here. So Wade, why don't you give a shout out? Say, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yo, so it's Wade here speaking. I was originally come from China, but in a very unique landscape. So I was born up north in Inner Mongolia, and I have Manchurian blood and, you know, fused with pretty much a lot of Chinese, probably Korean, I don't know. It's a very fused place.
Wow, you seem to have quite a mixed heritage.
Yeah, it's gone, you know. So, like, lots of sufferings,
okay.
Lots of struggles, underdeveloped, and heaps big-ass communism, old-school thinking model and corruption. So, that's the place I was born, in a coal mining hospital.
Shit, man, you got issues.
I got issues, but anyway, yeah, I grew up in another city because the government appointed us, my family, to a city called Nanjing.
Okay.
But I really just fucked up, like, my life wasn't good. I didn't get the luxury to have a piano. I hate music in China. I didn't really like it. I like the music I listened to, but I hate the music that I was told to play.
All right.
Anyway,
okay.
So,
okay.
Well, I came here, and then those two.
Well, let's hear who are the other members of your band before we take on your other issues. So, who we have here? James, you go for it.
Hey, I'm James, and I'm from Sandringham, Balmoral, and I'm a Pakeha, and I play guitar and Wukong the Monkey King.
Look, this is like a confessional here. Everyone's like, okay. So, how long you been with the Monkey King from inception?
Not quite. Yeah, I was kind of second wave of Monkey King.
Oh, the second wave. Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
2.0.
2.0.
About 2014.
I used to play guitar in the band, actually.
And then who's this? Who's the king here?
This is Kyle. I play bass for Wukong the Monkey King. I used to play guitar in the first generation, then James came along and he was like, nah.
Okay, so we got a mix of 1.0 and 2.0, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, okay, cool. Okay, well, now tell us as a whole, right? So you had 1.0, 2.0. Mm. Let's go to 1.0. So we know Wade's got issues. So Wade comes over to Aotearoa.
Yeah.
And is this when Wukong started?
Yeah, actually, Wukong started in university because me, Wade, and James all went to university together.
Okay.
We all studied graphic design. And yeah,
graphic design.
Yeah, graphic design, all right. Of all things.
All right, that's
so,
all right.
Yeah, when I first met Wade, he had no musical inclination whatsoever, but what we did start doing was after school, kind of like sitting around drinking, smoking substances, which is called that.
But as all good school children should do,
yeah, okay, right. It helps us with the studies. But we sat around jamming the blues for fucking like hours upon hours upon hours.
Okay,
like into the night, and that's kind of how we got started as like a musical unit, and it just kind of went from
there. That kind of makes sense because when I listen to your earlier work, it is sort of like a jamming sort of session, right? So, and are you all jazz musicians? Did you go through that route, or how did you learn your instrument? You're self-taught?
For me, I was always in kind of punk and grunge bands at high school.
Okay.
Then when I started jamming with these guys, I didn't really get jazz, and I was trying to push it in more of a metal kind of heavier direction, but I slowly came around.
Slowly came around and converted. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, and Kyle, were you a jazz sort of person to start with?
No, I wasn't. So I got my start playing like acoustic guitar. And this is kind of embarrassing to say on air, but John Mayer, yeah.
Oh, that was, ouch.
Yeah, but he's a fucking great guitarist. I feel like I have to defend my John Mayer beginnings. But that's how I got into it. And then slowly from there, my music taste kind of like evolved to incorporate like more of the stuff that we play now, like more hip-hop, jazz, all that stuff.
Okay, and so for the non-music person who kind of started as well, how did you kind of get into this and came up with this idea that, you know, we should kind of collaborate?
Yeah. Oh, because I think I'm a hunter, you know. I know
genetically,
like who got what, like, you know, like I, so as a hunter, you know, you gotta make sure that you're the most experienced one so your fellas don't die. Okay. And you don't die, so you gotta have a group of people, right? So I know those people, I know that, but I connect them together.
Okay.
That's what I do. Me, Kyle, and my other friends, Colin, and other, you know, they all play in different bands. I was like, okay, let's do something.
Okay.
Come on. But like, well, anyway, I learned a month of playing trumpet from Elizabeth, from
the
from the best.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come here. Can you teach me trumpet? Is that what happened?
No. Kyle helped me.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Why Wukong?
Why Wukong? Like this. Well, like, there's a big thing. Like, you know, my grandmom, you know, watch it all the time. I like it all the time. Like, I like it. You
the
know?
TV, the TV version.
The 96 Chinese version.
Okay. So yeah. So that was an influence
that was
from that time.
Big, and you know, it's like my Bible, Journey to the West.
Yes.
I still have it. I bought it to New Zealand. That's the only book that I bought to New Zealand, Journey to the West. It reminds me, like, you know, a crazy amount of journey, yeah. Rebellious spirit, and also how to refine that.
It's an interesting that you say that, because Journey to the West is also my Bible. And I didn't realize, I mean, as a very young child, I wasn't born in China, but where I was born, I was also hooked to the monkey story, right? Yeah. It was very glamorous, flying around the clouds, and he had all the superpowers, and he was always a very mischievous character. And I went to Beijing, I met my wife now, yeah. And at that time, I was trying to impress her and saying, hey, I love Wukong, you know, I know everything about Wukong. And she says, oh, tell me what you know about Wukong. So I was telling him, well, he went on this journey, he met this pig, and, you know, he had a cannibal king and all this stuff. And he says, oh, do you know the story before that? Is there a story before that? And she introduced me to this book, which was like this thick, right, of the different volumes of the monkey story. And this is what translated. And Journey to the West is actually a downstream part of it. It was amazing. So it was because of your name that I listened to you guys. But let's now listen to some of your songs, and then we'll come more and talk a little bit about your work, yeah?
Know that
That was Kasana from the Wukong, the Monkey King's debut, which I think was titled Wukong. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And it was recorded, mixed in Beijing?
Yes.
How did that come about?
How did that come about, James?
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to ask.
Because you were there, were you, James? Was this 2.0 by now?
Yep.
This was 3.0. Oh, it was 3.0. Fuck me.
3.0.
Okay, 3.0. So you guys decided, let's go to Beijing and fucking record this album.
Yep.
All right?
Well, you have a sense of urgency. If you don't do this, the band is going to be gone.
Oh, so...
Or no, it's not like that, but... it's like, you got to do something.
Yeah. You got to leave your mark. Something. Oh, that was the time. This was a call for action
at
this time.
You got to do something, because we write, like, you know, 15 songs a year.
Right.
And... you got to do something with those sounds, right? So I was like, oh, might as well. And that China tour, let's record it. So I've...
So you guys planned a tour first, and then after that you say, hey, let's just go and record it. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Right?
And the dude, I want to mention that dude as well. His name is Yan Haisong.
Okay.
He is the CEO now. Like, he managed, like, an indie label called Maybe Mars. And I really recommend
it. Fucking hell, I love Maybe Mars.
You love Maybe Mars?
That's badass artist.
He's the manager.
You need to hook me up, bro.
I will
Alright, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Maybe Mars is the jam. But anyway, it's an American professor who sponsored that, actually.
Oh, wow.
They're definitely profit-free.
Okay.
Everything is about freedom and that particular expression, and then they do the marketing and campaign for the bands, you know, to put them forward.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
That's why he's so welcoming. I sent him an email. We do this. Do you want to? It's like, yeah, I'll do it.
And he said, yeah? And how did this venue for the recording come about? Because I heard this, Carl was telling me that... it was not up to his kingly presence, because the access to the venue where you recorded it was rather wild. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So it was in like the basement of the basement of the basement of a derelict shopping mall somewhere in Beijing.
Okay.
You had to go through like a car park and then down a stairwell which smelled like shit. Down another car park, down another stairwell that smelled like shit to get to the studio. It was like a 15-minute walk. From the entrance of the derelict shopping mall. It was weird, but super cool.
You had to fight through shit to get this recording. Huh?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to point out, none of the toilets worked, but there were toilets, so that was an interesting situation.
So there was a bit of a build-up.
Excellent.
Shall we say?
I think it's abandoned. Like, everyone who live in that building or who work in that building is the laborers, the workers who are trying to, you know, renew that buildings.
Mm.
So you see the real lifestyle of like their lifestyle.
Excellent.
They're like cheap ass restaurants and stuff in the building, but they're supposed to sell like smartphones and laptops.
Wow.
This is China, man.
Okay, let's switch gears now, and I want to talk to Hugh. So, Hugh, you came up with an EP recently. This was The Migrant Mind, right?
Yeah. I dropped that at the end of March.
The end of March,
yeah.
This year, right?
Yep.
Okay, tell us a little bit about it. So, did you have to fight through shit, literally, to get this recorded line, like the Wukongs?
Probably not so much. So, this was my second project. I record and produce all my stuff at my house.
Okay.
My house is pretty clean, so it was a bit of a smooth process. But the thing about this EP is that it's got a few UK features. A couple of them I actually haven't met, which is pretty cool. I like the idea of collaborating with people overseas that I haven't actually come face to face with, and just like sort of globalizing the musical enterprise.
Very good. Okay.
So it was easy enough. I mean, they sent me their verses, and I just chucked it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did they record their own stems and then send them to you and you kind of mix them all together? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I sent them a demo or an instrumental, and then, they sent through the raw files.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before I play a track from The Migrant Mind, tell me about the overall concept. What were the influences to this particular project of yours?
Yeah, so I really wanted to speak to the third culture experience, particularly from the African perspective.
Define what is a third culture?
Third culture. So third culture, broadly speaking, is the experience of being a new culture that's come from experiencing two cultures. So usually it's used to describe migrant children, people who have come, either been born in New Zealand to recently migrant parents, or people who have migrated themselves as very young and have grown up having to go to school and go to work in a Western culture, but they experience their home culture at home.
Right.
And so they're having to navigate through, you know, identity stuff and so on and so forth and work out how, you know, their life fits into the broader picture of culture.
It is a very conflicted situation, isn't it?
It is. And my first EP, The Foreign Legacy, was about kind of reconciling that. And the second EP is more about celebrating it, but also talking about the frustrations of not really fitting in anywhere and having to sort of fight for your right almost to speak on political matters. Because as a Nigerian migrant kid, I don't feel 100% qualified to talk about what's going on back in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
But also in New Zealand with the issues that we're facing here, I feel a little bit removed from issues here as well, in virtue of not being, you know, Māori or Pākehā. So it's a bit of a weird space to be in.
It's kind of limbo, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, well, let's listen to a track here. Now we can dare more, and we'll talk a little bit more about your music.
Sweet.
From a lineage of dominance, bars up to Richter when I feel it with my common sense. And yeah, I'm always deeper than the speakers of the obvious. Uh-huh. Huh. Now that's what I call intelligent flow. They on the ground, but I shine with a hell of a glow. Planes notice me from the sky where I'm planning to go. Okay, I'm from the land where the melanin grow. Lacking a little, but my statue is the evidence, though. Yeah. That's no Pinocchio, true speech, seldom in a two piece. Just in Isiago with some blue jeans, gathering that loose leaf. Got the tools for consciousness improving, and old school is teaching them a new thing.
Yeah. What you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, stealing times with the hustle, we don't guess, and I wait till they know.
We go,
yeah,
mission.
We they do have a thing, we don't stand, and I wait till they know.
Yeah, Omonaja,
Omonaja to the end, and I wait till they know.
Wait till they know,
now wait till they know.
Wait till they know.
I'm not bringing it up, lifts. One gift, every child is old on the road to success. Some drift like Mustangs. Others do their own ting-a-ling-a-ling like Shabarangs. Naja peeps go in places like sounds. Everything with Ayan, I don't see I'm first high like the best man. Invest in educating the people, whether you're Yoruba, Hausa, or Igbo. Jeka Jijo Ayo, down on Padasini, don't you want to my first Utoro, eh? Never draw slow like Ogbonor. In this modern warfare, cold life, but do not fear. Come prepared for the final frontier. Yeah, that's why your government have wrecked careers for years, but not the yes out the rear. Then go tell you this, count on their back, pioneers on the attack.
Wait till they know.
See the times we don't hustle, we don't guess, and I wait till they know.
Wait till they know.
We they do our thing, we don't stand, and I wait till they know.
Wait till they know. Naija,
yeah.
Auckland City, Cardiff.
Waiting and no, waiting and no, waiting and no, waiting and no, waiting and no. Yeah. Waiting and no, waiting and no, waiting and no, waiting and no, waiting and no. Skunkadelic. Waiting and no,
waiting there, no, waiting there, no, oh, 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 waiting there, no.
Wetting Deno, and that was a track from Unchained XL's last EP, The Migrant Mind.
Yep.
Tell us about that track. What does Wetting Deno actually mean?
No, Wetting Deno. So that's what we call Pidgin English. Obviously, different regions of the world have their own kind of version of it. But in particular, this is a West African Pidgin English shared predominantly by Nigeria, Ghana, Cameroon, and that kind of stuff. And it just means, what do they know? Like, what do they know about what we're going through?
Okay.
And I wanted to just create a bit of a Nigerian anthem. So the two other artists that are on it are both Nigerians as well. They're in Cardiff. I met them when I was on tour in the UK last year. And yeah, I just wanted to create more of a laid-back kind of track and just flexing the fact that we're Nigerian, but we got this sort of migrant experience, and we're just ripping who we are in the places that we are. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And you incorporated some, I don't know whether you would call it dialects.
Yeah, so Tumi, or Skunkadelic, the third MC on that track, he is Yoruba, and Yoruba is one of the three main ethnicities in Nigeria. There are over 200, but the three main ones are Igbo, Yoruba, and Hausa. And his one, Yoruba, yeah, he speaks a bit of that language because he migrated to Wales or the UK, I think, when he was a little bit older than I was. So he retained the language, which is awesome, and he uses a lot of that in his music, which is pretty dope. I asked if he would put some in, because, yeah, I just wanted to have that represented.
Excellent, excellent. I want to now switch over to Kevin and maybe ask Kevin to kind of share a little bit. How did you meet up with Hugh, and when did the magic of your collaboration start?
Funny story, yeah. I was invited to go to his EP release at the end of March. And
this was the Migrant Mind, when he released the Migrant Mind. Okay.
Yeah. And I heard the title of it, Migrant Mind, and in that time, I was going through my whole issue of waiting for another visa.
That could be traumatic.
Very traumatic. Spirits were down. I was invited by my fiance sister, actually. She's a friend of Hugh's, and I said, okay, I'll go there and just feel the vibe.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. There was a few artists before, one by the name of Momuse. Shout out to him. When Hugh got on stage, the presence of the live band, that got me.
Wow.
His energy, that got me as well. It's just something about the chemistry of other artists that you can automatically feel. And, you know, I didn't really approach him like, hey, bro, let's work. I just had to, hey, that was an amazing show. And it was just that.
Yeah, give respect. Excellent.
But pretty much the next day, we connected, and we started to get to work right away.
Wow, okay.
And, yeah, he had came down to my place, and we worked on our first song called We Be All.
Okay.
Just like he would add something, I would add something, he would add something. And then just over the course of about a week and a half, we had the record done. And
Tell us a little bit about your background, though. I mean, are you a musician, artist yourself? I mean, are you a producer?
Yes. Mainly a music producer. I was rapped since the age of four with my dad. You know, he would just, you know, sit in his room, smoke, and say, hey, son, come in here and listen to this. Rap your ABCs. All right, put words to it. So it just comes natural.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, but producing started for me at the age of 13.
Okay.
I was always curious about the sounds. I would, you know, prior to that, I would sit in the backseat of my mom's car, and I would strip down the music piece by piece. And I found out later on that I can create music and sound on the fly just by looking at colors through synesthesia. And that was intriguing to me because I wasn't trained on how to play. I just knew what to play by looking at certain colors and putting it together by the energy of the colors.
Wow.
And then I went to music production school from 2010 to 2012 in Oklahoma. And that's where I got the music theory, the music production, and all of that. And even as far as scoring films and music videos.
Excellent.
So that's where that comes from. And I like to, on my own stuff, I like to make certain songs in English and Spanish, because in Oklahoma it's predominantly Spanish as well.
I see. Okay.
So I'm fluent in both, you know.
Wonderful.
So some of the influence comes from that as well, just listening to different cultures in Oklahoma. I would wake up to mariachi and then I would go to sleep to hip hop.
Oh, how cool is that?
It's pretty amazing. But working with you, it's been really, really cool, just like getting the knowledge of the different drum cadences that he brings and the flavor of his music theory background and keys and chords, and how we can come together and just create something really quick, and we feed off each other's energy as well.
Fantastic.
You know, and it's quite funny, I've heard, like when we're on stage, we don't rehearse what we do together.
Oh, is that right?
But the energy level, it just matches up, and it's just been that way since day one. So.
Excellent. Well, I saw you guys perform together at the Anthology K Road. That right. was the first time I saw you perform together. Yeah, I mean, I think you were one of the highlights for sure. So you didn't rehearse that. I remember Hugh kind of invited you up on stage, right? So that was just impromptu.
I mean, I let him know. I'm like, bro, we're going to be playing some of the songs that we've done.
Some prior notice.
But yeah, no, we've never actually rehearsed in the same room, just because, like, logistically, it's never really worked out.
Because you're down south in Papakura or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, well, we'll get back to you, because I know you guys just released a track recently, right?
Yeah. We put one out the other day. I think it was on Thursday.
What's the name of We the Folk?
That's My Folk.
That's My Folk.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's My Folk. Correction. We shall listen to that later. But I want to now talk to Angry Young Wade here.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk.
All right. But tell me about the anger in your second album, the second Wukong Monkey King album. Where did that anger come from?
Oh, there's a lot of things, you know, like... Wukong is actually, I think, the narrative of Wukong, that first album, come after this, the narrative of the second album, actually, because that's more like, you know, when you go through the anger and what you're going to do about it, that's the first one. But the reason I didn't do it in the first one is because, you know, the songs, they don't quite give me a platform to show my anger. I wasn't confident enough to be personal and... be ready to present that anger. But this album, especially when I was recording it, I had something happen in life, you know, I'm suffering from real life, and then all those memories gonna come back in, you have to process them. So there's real anger in there, but I wouldn't say that that's, you know, I'm an angry person.
Cool. Well, let's listen to a track from 21st Century Time Traveling. Yeah. This is Decay.
Just do what I do. a dream, that's the way. If you wanna be free, let it be a dream, that's the way. If you wanna be free, let it be a dream, that's the way.
That's pretty angry, Wade.
Okay, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Those, like, reduced anger.
So you said that, you know, this anger came from a lot of things that happened during that part of your life, right?
And realization, yes.
And of realization as well, of the past. Yeah. And this was about your heritage and political situations that moved your family and all that. Was that kind of now all unleashed, all those memories just unleashed on this album?
Partially, it's not fully.
Oh, there's still some shit left.
There's so much left.
Okay, like, I'm sure.
This is me trying to be confident with myself, right? Like, you say this is the first step, but there will be, I think, if, you know. But I still want to switch between myself and, like, Wukong, be like, universal. Be, like, trying to define that common saying that I have with other people rather than saying that I come from here, this is fact, you know. Like,
I'm interested to know now, how did the band react? I mean, obviously this is different from your first album, right? So how did the band now translate your lyrical, what you had created?
You know, like, we actually knew it, like, it's all planned.
Oh, is that right?
It's all... We had a session because I told them this idea for like last 2 years. I need to write an album. I need to write something like time traveling because, you know, when you're talking about being an immigrant, you literally time traveled because your mindset is not going to be the same.
It was something that Hugh had touched upon as well.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'm willing to, you know, bring up this shit. But let's look at it musically, because you guys need to come up with the music, because I was away for shooting and stuff, you know. I don't want to give up those opportunities for inspiration, so my job is to
be
honest.
You're away for shooting?
Yeah, I was shooting like a movie. Like,
oh, you were making movie?
Yeah,
okay.
Shooting a movie. It was random.
Thought, man, shit, this That's, guy, well, now he's angry and now he's shooting.
Yeah, I'm shooting with my bow and arrow. I was literally fighting. Yeah.
But this was Mulan.
I was in Mulan.
Well, were you the bad guy or the good guy?
Both. And you know what? Like, they fight, the original war was around my hometown. This is actually me in here thinking about my history.
That kind of like compounds what you were going through, didn't
That's
it?
That's why I wrote that song. Like, the lyrics, I wrote it when I was in Moon.
Okay. No,
but they didn't know that. They had no idea. But I told them, no, I'll get it sorted. So, you know, it's two things happening at the same time. But, you know, we are skilled enough to put them together.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's next? What's next for Wukong? You guys going on tour? You going back to China? What's the plan?
Well, in the immediate future, we just added another band member.
Oh, you did?
So there's that. That's, like, really exciting for us.
So what, this is, like, version 5 or...?
4.0.
Yeah, so call this 4.0.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to 4.0, you guys took an unexpected break.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
You want to kind of share with the world and maybe me as well? Because it was unexpected when you guys suddenly just appeared with a new album. But what happened?
I think it's just, you know, trying to be... This, the every struggle you would have to be creative is that creativity is a combination of different ideas, right? And the way I look at things and the way we other people look at things might be different. And it is forever a task.
Okay.
For any good, you know, top-notch group, like an NBA basketball team, you know, even if you have 5 best players, it's not a team. You can't do it.
Right.
That's where I come from. And I think it's nothing that, you know, the detail isn't too important. But the progress is what make us today.
Okay.
You know, like, so if you really want me to talk about it, I would say that, again, I'm a hunter. Like, yeah, I hunt in a particular way that makes sure that nobody dies.
I guess you had to make some tough decisions and say, look, I want to keep...
Kyle made some tough decisions as well.
Well, that's why he's the king, right? All right, cool.
It kind of culminated in an edgy Instagram post which tipped things over.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of led to...
Psychological warfare a little bit, but we've settled the differences.
Well, there you go.
Progressed.
progress to version 4.0.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about version 4.0 now, King Kyle.
Well, version 4.0, after the release of this album, it's kind of thinking about like how to take the sound and like move it even forward from here. And I was thinking it would be nice if we could add like another, like a dedicated trumpet player, so we have like a full horn section to play
okay,
with.
Okay, okay.
But also add percussion elements, because I'm a big fan of like Afrobeat as well.
Backing vocals.
Yeah, and there's some really cool shit going on over in the London jazz scene at the moment. There's bands that are combining Afrobeat with jazz in a new way that's super funky. Kokoroko being one of them. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kokoroko's fucking, like, it's amazing. So I really wanted to bring that in, and I feel like by adding another trumpet player slash percussionist slash backing vocalist, we can take it up to another level. So, yeah.
I have to ask, is this going to be another dude, or is it going to be a dudette?
It's going to be another dude, okay. Unless, I mean, I think he identifies as a dude. I don't know, it's 2019.
Yes, probably.
But I haven't actually asked him, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have some diversity, guys.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You have to bring it up now. Yeah. To the
I mean,
age.
My first pick was Liz from The Best, but she's busy, killing it.
She's a little bit busy. Though, I think. Yeah, cool. Okay, well, I'm going to switch now over. Maybe before that, let's now hear this recent track that was dropped by Unchained XL and Kevin, and that's called That's My Folk.
That's my folk, same type glow, same damn look when we walk through the door, same melanin, hey, different clothes, different struggle, but we got the same goal. Yeah, that's my folk, same type glow, same damn look when we walk through the door, same melanin, hey, different clothes, different struggle, but we got the same goal. Bro, bro, talk, fly, clock, strike the same pose. You take a mugshot, shot, got the same nose. Yeah. The same bad lips, know what to pray for. Both get a hashtag, both get a halo. Both bodies get placed on display, don't need a others getting paid for the white gays, bro. Who taught black women how to head throw? Skin police screams, who taught us how to make those? The same damn folk with their fingers in the African pie. We get a crumb to survive, so we take to the sky. Straight back and smack any one of my guys. We disrespect y'all in front of my eyes, cause y'all be through the mind. That's real. Both trying to get to freedom. Yeah. First things first, man, we try to get to eat. Yeah. Can't change the world while the energy's depleting. So let me come through and cut the beat, man. That's my fault. Same type glow. Same damn look when we walk through the door. Same melanin, hey, different clothes. Different struggle, but we got the same goal. Yeah, that's my fault. Same type glow. Same damn look when we walk through the door. Same melanin, hey, different clothes. Different struggle, but we got the same goal. Hold up. Black AM, hey. My bro, African. Hey. We both profile racially talented men. No, we don't play basketball. That would be them with assumptions of who we are. Where to begin? Educated, no drugs, no medication. Dreams achieve them, chase them, bags obtain them. Cops behind me, some five heck is gray. And my drip was flash, one hell of a wave. To my sisters from both sides, so beautiful inside and outside. Black don't crack, we just survive. Handle our business and we aim high. Nothing wrong with you or your head. Your skin is clothing. The windows to your soul is plenty of hope there. USA to the motherland, hand in hand, we all equal, so we say. That's my fault. Same type glow, same damn look when we walk through the door. Same melanin, hey, different clothes. Different struggle, but we got the same goal. Yeah, that's my fault. Same type glow, same damn look when we walk through the door. Same melanin, hey, different clothes. Different struggle, but we got the same goal.
Hey. The two problems must be solved together, and the two forces must go forward together.
Whoa, I tell you, when that track's playing, anybody who's not up on their feet, dancing, hands in the air, they got a problem.
That, what is wrong with you?
That is dope. So tell us, Hugh, I mean, how did this amazing track come about?
Yeah, so a lot of the conversation that I've been involved in lately, mostly on Twitter, if I'm to be honest, is dialogue about the issue of continental Africans and Black Americans, and the obviously the history that we have is very controversial and filled with a lot of trauma and pain.
Right.
And due to how things,
ended up happening. There seems to be a rift between us in terms of how we relate and how we understand each other. There are a lot of negative stereotypes on both sides, and a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. And it's a frustrating thing for me to look at, because it's the same powers of colonialism and slavery. They affected us both, yet we're taking our anger out on each other. So the track was really a call to unity in the spirit of a lot of the Pan-African leaders who were doing stuff and making waves mid last century in both the USA and Africa. And so, yeah, we're really, I guess, paying homage to them by saying, look, guys, we need to refocus back on this idea of unifying black people, and noting that although our particular histories might have some differences, broadly speaking, we're searching for the same thing, and that's the liberation of our peoples. And we ought to focus our protest and our anger and our striving on the same enemy. I mean, I hesitate to use that word because it's quite harsh, but like, speaking honestly, speaking plainly, yeah, that's what it is. Like, we have a common enemy, and that's who we need to fight, and we need to do that together.
Excellent.
So, yeah,
that's pretty deep, and thanks for sharing that.
No worries.
I want to ask now, from Kevin, from your perspective as a producer, but you also rapped on the track as well. I do hear different elements, particularly funk, soul, yeah. That's different from Unchained XL in the past, right? So what was your contribution, and did you kind of include that influence into this track?
Yeah, mainly on like the verses, the chorus part, that's all Hugh.
Okay.
The funk element, it was kind of one of those things where I just walked into his house and I heard it playing.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
yeah.
Wow, cool.
I heard it playing, and then he's like, what else would we want to add to this? And then I heard the drum breakdown, and I was like, maybe I'll try a bass line. And then the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That influence just came from just feeling that energy of what the first piece was already, and just getting the idea of, you know, the 70s, they had their struggles as well, and the mindset was different. Now that we have more access to have an open dialogue with each other, African Americans and Africans all around the world, we can actually have that sit down conversation, and let's time travel back to the 70s a little bit, but let's be open and say, okay, look, we have been pinned against each other, but let's see how we can heal and mend, and then open up the dialogue to say, hey, look, there's no reason for us to fight each other. There's no reason for us to really push out the anger towards anybody else. But let's see how we can come together and make our future brighter for our young ones. How can we teach them how to save? How can we teach them how to remain themselves after dealing with the stress? Because I'm from the States. In the line about, you know, cops behind me, survived hair gets grayer. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, my hair has been gray since my early 20s, which is totally not normal.
Right.
But when you know that there's a high chance that the cop's behind you, you could die within 5 minutes.
Yes.
If you get pulled over, just so they can get paid leave. Mm. And, you know, just an added bonus. That's just how it is.
Right.
And don't get it twisted. Some of the black cops in the States as well, they do the same thing. Mm. It's really, really sad. But just that, and just painting the love back to both sides of the women, the African-American women and African women. There's this whole thing of, yo, your hair is not straight, you're not pretty. Oh, your skin is too dark, you're not pretty. And it's like, the beauty for me, it really comes from the inside of how your characteristics are.
Absolutely.
If we were all blind and we hear someone speaking really ugly or negative or just bad, that energy, you can feel it. Okay,
yes.
I don't want to be around that. You have to protect that. And this song, I feel like we're bringing unity, but also protection to each other.
Right.
And just that thought and the feeling of the color in my mind of what was going on, just like the pretty, like the guitar, wow, 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 is a piece there instead of a push of anger. And it gives the sense of, when we're all dancing, we're not worried about, oh,
he's African.
Yes.
He's this, he's that, or he's white, or he's this, he's that. No, it's just fun, it's good energy, and that's what the world needs. And I feel like this song really brings that out, and it's a start to something very special.
Oh, both of you have just described that song in such a rich and philosophical way,
yeah.
Because there is a lot of deep meaning to it. But yet, if you just listen to the song, the melodies, the beats, yeah, what did you think, Wukong?
I was couldn't stop moving.
I tell you, right?
Yeah, and one's uplifting. Yeah.
What better way to unify true, hey, get your fucking ass on the dance floor, man. Because music transcends and connects all of us, and we should just join together and just dance our troubles away, practically, yeah. Right? Yeah. Now, that's a beautiful song, and I wish you every success. I hope that song now becomes an anthem, not just nationally, but internationally, a true
sure.
call for unity that the world needs. Right now. So now on to more spiritual matters.
Yeah.
I would like to now play a track from Wukong the Monkey King's latest album, 21st Century Time Traveling, and it's got a very cool name, Dharma Lama. So let's have not all of it because it's a pretty long track, but let's hear some of it and we'll come back and talk more about this album.
Dharma Lama sho, Dharma Lama zo, Dharma Lama jani wo ting sho. Dharma Lama sho, Dharma Lama zo, Dharma Lama dai mo wei da xiao shi ho. Zhe shi hou xiang tian ci ge le wo de qing xu, yi zhi bu zhu de fan lu, yi shi wo yong lai xin zhi zui hua shen hua bu duan qu chuang zao.
Okay, I'm going to cut off a little bit, fade out here. This is a beautiful track. Once again, we reviewed this album once it came out. Well, actually, before it came out, because I pushed these guys to get me an early copy because I loved it so much. Again, it's the Wukong connection, man. And Sam Smith from Radio 13 reviewed it, absolutely loved it. I loved it. So check out radio13.co.nz for the album review. And I believe we also reviewed The Migrant Mind as well. So we thank you, Sam Smith. Shout out to you, who is always looking out for our artists here in Aotearoa. So Wade, Kyle, James, tell us, where can we see Wukong the Monkey King perform next?
So we have a gig coming up 31st of this month. It's at a warehouse party, which is going to be a first for us. That's going to be pretty cool. But look out for details, follow-ups on Facebook, because I don't have them right now.
I know it's a $30 ticket, which is pretty hefty, but it's free drinks all night.
Yeah, alcohol free included, drinks. Apparently. So,
so
come thirsty.
Sounds pretty, yeah.
Wow, that seems to be a bit of a deal.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And tell us, where does one find Wukong the Monkey King?
We're on Spotify, Bandcamp, all the things. Facebook, and, yeah, Instagram. YouTube as well. YouTube. Yeah, shit. Okay.
Fuck, man. You need to kind of give more specific details, because you put Wukong in, fuck, you're going to get that TV series and you're going to get the comic. You might even get gorillas showing
we're
up.
We're all like hidden somewhere, right? The real Wukong is hidden.
Yeah.
I'm not. On Facebook is at NZ Wukong. NZ Wukong.
So, okay. Yeah. NZ Wukong.
Yeah. You can all find us on Facebook. And then you can pretty much go everywhere else.
Yeah. From, add the NZ and then you'll find us.
Yeah.
Okay. Monkey NZ. King NZ.
There's only one Wukong in NZ?
Apparently.
Yeah. There was like a racehorse, apparently.
He was like a
champion racehorse called Wukong.
Wow.
So that might come up as well. It's kind of interesting.
On Spotify. Okay.
Not on Spotify. Yeah.
Well, the Bad Monkey is very highly supportive of Wukong in New Zealand, and Wukong's everywhere. Mm. All right, let's switch over to Hugh and Kevin. When's your next show? Tell us more about it.
So the next sort of major show, I guess, is Friday, 13th of September. That's called the Slapback 2.0. So the concept behind that gig is everyone on the lineup has to include a cover from the noughties.
A cover from the noughties.
Yeah,
the noughties.
Yeah.
Okay.
Between 2000 and 2010.
I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm not up to my urban dictionary. Gotcha. Right.
Yeah. Okay. But before then, I'm opening for Kings on the 24th because I won his little competition that he was running.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. And where is Kings performing?
I believe that's at the Tuning Fork.
Okay.
On August 24th.
Yeah. That is right. Yes, yeah. I did see his name in the bill when I was there last night on the poster. Okay, so you're opening for him.
Yeah, just doing a short set. I think we're only doing two or three songs.
Okay. Yeah. Is it you in a band or?
No, it's just me, and then Kevin will join me for one of the tracks.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, and then Anthology K Road, who's the lineup?
So that's Damaret, Razé, myself, Mo Muse, and Sarai will be DJing as well.
Oh, cool. That sounds like a pretty dope lineup.
Yeah.
And the covers, let's not tell everyone what the cover is going to be, but that sounds like it's going to be dope.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any last words? Wukong?
Sure.
Sure.
I think that's a very good thing to say to the Chinese government. That says a lot. Sure. And Kevin?
Well, yeah, I would just like to say it was nice to be here and to meet you guys, Wukong. You have amazing music, and we should work together soon. Yeah, and Hugh, yeah, let's keep doing our thing. And thank you for having us here on the station, and we'll definitely be back. In the rest of the year, I plan to just stay in the studio mostly, so yeah, I will be back with some more tunes, and let's just see what happens, and let's keep it moving forward.
So it looks like the whole visa situation has ended on a very positive note.
Yeah, I got the visa, but I'm also looking for something else, you know.
Okay.
I just want to get myself set to where I'm here for the long haul instead of just, you know, dealing with other stuff.
This the place to be, bro.
Yeah, a lot more peaceful than the States, you know, just to be really real.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, my heart goes out to you and family and anyone that you know down the States, because it used to be a place that I had wanted to spend more time in.
Yeah.
But now it seems that it's not.
Yeah, and even now, too, with the whole immigration system over there, you know, I just want to say my prayers do go out to the families who are separated from their kids and the ones that are
horrific.
Just locked up, you know, just for
fucking horrific, man.
Yeah, it's horrific, and the kids have to grow up with that trauma. So I feel like what we're doing now, we're really making music for all of them and everybody else around the world that is going through that, and even you guys too, which is amazing that we're all here in the same space, and we didn't even know that. Something good's going on here. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Hugh?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I'm guessing for your listeners, whoever's listening to this is probably already sort of on the wave of supporting New Zealand music. But just to encourage and exhort people, just keep doing that. Keep putting money into New Zealand music. Keep going to shows. Keep streaming and all that kind of stuff. Because I do notice a pattern, sort of, whether you're sort of regular pundit, that they'll spend a lot of money on concert tickets for internationals. Mm. But even something like $10 or $15 is a stress for New Zealand artists. But the thing is, in order for us to get to that level of being international, they need local support.